The football pod with Paddy and Andy.
We wanted to hit Kerry like they were never hit before. And he goes, when we hit them, and then we go, oh, they don't like this. And then they went at them again. That's what Tyrone have to do.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
All right, we're turning to Premier League now. We're delighted to welcome Gareth Roberts of the Anfield Wrap back to the show this morning. Gareth, good morning.
Good morning.
Keeping well, Gareth. We're going to get into Liverpool and Chelsea this weekend very shortly. I just wanted to kind of maybe take a quick look back first on last weekend and the Burnley game. And I guess a lot of the fallout from this match has been centering around Jurgen Klopp's post-match comments about some of the hard tackling, I guess, from the Burnley players. Like, Burnley didn't get a single yellow card in the game, and yet Jurgen Klopp was quite angry afterwards. So what did you make of the whole reaction to the Klopp's comments?
Yeah, I thought the reaction was a bit strange, to be honest. It felt as though from the moment he'd said it to now, really, that a lot of people have grabbed it as a narrative that he's looking to gain an advantage in future games. And I don't think that's the case for a minute. I mean, you know, we're playing Chelsea at the weekend, and Chelsea are not an over-physical side, I wouldn't say. So I don't think he's trying to get in the referee's head for this weekend. Also, if Burnley sort of toned down their approach, well, that's not Liverpool's advantage, is it? Because Liverpool have already played them. I think he was genuinely commenting on some of the challenges in the game. And some of the challenges for me when I was in the ground, I thought, were over the top. And I was very surprised not to see the normally card-happy Mike Dean, you know, brandish a few cards, to be honest. You know, they were hard. I think everyone's got a bit mixed up in sort of, you know, letting games flow and there being hard challenges, which I'm all up for. I love it. I love watching Graham Souness back in his day for Liverpool. I love watching Steven Gerrard in his day for Liverpool. Both loved a hard challenge. But, you know, there's still got to be a line there, and I felt some of Burnley's challenges did cross that line. I mean, you know, there were challenges there where a ball wasn't involved. If you look at the one on Matip, obviously Jota's wrestled to the ground. That's been widely shared on social media since. And I just think some of the pundits sort of sought out a line and then rigidly stuck to it and didn't want to say, well, actually, you know, we've looked at it again and maybe Klopp's got a point. And then it sort of got mashed in with what Solskjaer said after Manchester United's game as well. And then it just became a bit of a thing of, OK, well, let's have a go at the big managers and let's maybe ignore the point that they're making. Because, as I say, I think one or two of Burnley's challenges did cross the line across the 90 minutes.
Is there maybe a case that I guess some of the big clubs, certainly the top 4, 5, 6 clubs in the Premier League, especially when they're at home and especially when they have the home crowd with them, they're so used to getting decisions, I guess, their way, maybe sometimes 50-50 decisions up their way. So for Klopp, it was probably a bit surprising that it was kind of almost tilted the other way at the weekend.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair point. Obviously, if you look back in history, you know, the likes of Liverpool, Manchester United, you know, have got one or two penalties at home, it's fair to say. Although Liverpool did seem to go through a phase where that turned on its head and almost felt like referees didn't want to give it for exactly the reason you're saying, almost like they came to Anfield going, OK, well, I don't want to show that I'm a soft touch. I can't comment on other clubs and how that felt for them because I don't follow them home in a way like I do Liverpool, but it certainly felt like that for a while. So maybe there was a little bit of that. I just think, you know, they've obviously had these meetings, the referees have taken a certain, you know, road and decided that they want to let things flow, and that's absolutely fine. As I say, the Euros was fantastic, wasn't it? I'm sure everyone would agree in how that was refereed, and, you know, to let a bit of that in the Premier League, you know, superb, because last season was grim. Everything was pulled up. There was too much use of VAR. It all slowed down. It all got a bit choppy. So I get that they want to let it flow. I just think some of the challenges on Saturday, you know, most people in football, if they took the specs off, you know, and looked at it again, would say, yeah, that one's a foul. That one's a foul. That should have been a booking. You know, as you said there, you know, Mike Dean didn't book a single person. And this isn't to have a go at Burnley either. I think by the end of the game that Burnley were knackered because he'd had to run around off Liverpool. So some of their players, I don't think it was, you know, I don't think they're intending to do the player, if you like. I think they're just tired, and they were tired challenges. But some of those tired challenges were bordering on dangerous. There was one on Harvey Elliott towards the end, which, you know, he sort of leapt out the way of a little bit and was fine. But, you know, on another day, he'd be currently, you know, on the treatment table. So I think the points from Klopp were fine at the end of the day, but you know, they got twisted, they got turned into a story, and as I say, it felt as though some pundits wanted to double down on it. You know, Jermaine Genas, I think, has gone three times on it now, you know, Match of the Day, Radio 5, and on Twitter. And it's a, and you know, people are sending him the clips of the over the top challenges, and his reply is a crying emoji, and it's a bit like, well, you're working at the top level of punditry, mate. You know, why don't you engage with supporters who've actually got a fair point here?
And some of the criticism, I guess, from a devil's advocate point of view, leveled towards Klopp was that he named players, that perhaps it's unusual for a manager to I guess name players. I think Ashley Barnes was named, maybe Chris Wood as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
By Jurgen Klopp, like that, as opposed to, you know, just saying Burnley got decisions today, Burnley were over the top of the tackling. Like, what did you make of the fact that he kind of pinpointed a couple of players, or is that even an issue in your view?
I think maybe Sean Dyche had a point on that, because I don't think it is normal to name players like that. I think you're right in that normally you would go more blanket and you would say Burnley's approach today, you know, and that kind of line. So maybe it was, you know, maybe Klopp was a touch too emotional there and shouldn't have named names. And, you know, that does feel slightly unfair in terms of, you know, we talk about getting into officials' heads, don't we? So, you know, will now officials be watching those particular players a little bit more? So, yeah, I can see why, you know, Burnley fans, Sean Dyche, people who don't like Liverpool, I can see why they would look at that particular aspect of it and say, yeah, Jurgen Klopp was a bit out of order there.
Hey, before I get back to the on-pitch matters ahead of the Chelsea game, Gareth, like, just to touch on the the homophobic chanting from the game with Norwich and directed towards Billy Gilmour, and I know it was dealt with very well, I actually thought, by the club and by Klopp, sitting down and having an open conversation with member of the supporters group from the LGBTQ plus community. And I guess in some ways the response of the club to those chants was encouraging. Unfortunately, it's something we see in football all the time. There are offensive chants, there are racist chants, there are homophobic chants, but the reaction of the club was quite encouraging, I thought.
Yeah, it was. You know, it went to the very top, didn't it, in that, you know, Jurgen Klopp had to sit down with cop-outs who represent, you know, the LGBT community who support Liverpool. So, you know, that was fantastic. We've done work with them ourselves at the Anfield Wrap. And I think for me, it's very, very simple. If there are a section of our supporters who are saying that they find this chant offensive, then let's just leave it. Let's leave it. And it's as simple as that. You know, there's lots of whataboutry. There's lots of it doesn't mean this, it means this. But like I say, if people from that community are literally saying, I find this offensive, this makes me uncomfortable, well, I don't like the idea of that personally. I think, you know, when you're stood on the cop, the whole idea of it is that you feel as one, that you feel together, you know, and that you're getting behind your team as a collective. You know, and if there's people within that number who feel uncomfortable by something that's going on, then let's just nip it in the bud. You know, people going back sort of 30 and 40 years to explain a chant, and it's because of this and it's because of that. I mean, wow. Like, it's really simple for me, as I say. You know, if people are feeling uncomfortable at a game, let's not make them feel uncomfortable. It's really as simple as that. As you say, there are loads of chants, you know, that are in repertoires of clubs across the country that are a little bit grim and we need to move on. You know, I've been on here before and talked about, you know, references of Hillsborough, Heysel, you know, and all the rest of it. You know, we just, the Munich air disaster as well and things like that, you know, can't we all just be a little bit better than this? We've all been through a little bit of a grim time. Obviously, it's been an unprecedentedly weird time. And when you emerge the other side of it, you kind of think, or I think, well, can't we all try and be a little bit better now? And look, that's maybe naive, because I think maybe there's an edge of supporters across the land who will always take things too far. But, you know, you would like to think that communication like Liverpool did does start to change some minds. And yet you're right in that, you know, Liverpool were out there early, got the manager involved, and I think that was an excellent way to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear. Some good news on the pitch for Liverpool this week with Andy Robertson. Robertson signing his contract extension until 2026. I know he'd only signed a previous contract in 2019, but with Kostas Tsimikas doing what he's doing at the moment, Gareth, in that left-back position, and I think he only had maybe 6 minutes of Premier League action last year with Robertson, of course, keeping him out of the team. But, I mean, you can't really take Tsimikas out of the team at the moment, can you?
I don't know, you know, I've been thinking about this one all week, and, you know, Tsimikas played really well. You know, he had a moment there against Burnley where he was battling away for the ball with a few Burnley players and then sort of emerged with it, and the ground absolutely loved that one, and everyone was up on the feet, you know, applauded him. And it felt like a bit of an Andy Robertson moment in that it just sort of summed up the lad's spirit, because you're quite right to say that, you know, last season we were all looking at it saying, well, is this lad any good? Because, you know, we were going through a defensive crisis, and at times Robertson looked shot. It looked like he was chugging, you know, he played every single Premier League game last season. And you were like, well, when does he get a rest? And why is this lad so far off? And there was even rumours he might go in the summer. And, you know, when you saw what had come the season before, you thought, well, look, maybe in training he's just not at the level that Liverpool want. But he's coming to the team, played really well, and like I said, he seems very likeable as a character as well, which I think is important because, you know, when the crowd take to you, it helps. So what I would say is that whoever starts at left-back at the weekend, I don't think there's going to be many moans about it. But I've got a sneaking suspicion it might be Robertson, because I think to put him on the bench last weekend, sort of ahead of schedule, you know, that was Klopp saying, well, where he's at. You know, if he's happy to be on the bench, then, you know, he's happy to play him, I would say, because otherwise, why put him there? So I just think he's got the edge, Robertson, in that he's got all this time under his belt playing next to Virgil van Dijk and the rest of the defence. He understands exactly what Klopp wants going forward and going back. I think he's got the edge over Tsimikas defensively as well. But look, if the sports scientists behind the scenes, listen, Robertson's not ready for 90 and certainly not at the energy levels that he'll need against Chelsea, stick with Tsimikas. Like I said, I don't think anyone will be complaining about that, because Tsimikas has done really well this season so far.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking game. So it's Liverpool-Chelsea at Anfield, 5:30 on Saturday evening. Liverpool have lost just two of their last 13 Premier League games against Chelsea. Of course, though, one of those defeats came in the most recent game back in March. But it's kind of delicately poised, this one, and I guess one of the interesting strands heading into this one, Gareth, is the Klopp-Tuchel battle, and I think maybe Klopp is the manager Tuchel has faced most often in his career, of course, from their backgrounds in the Bundesliga, but this pair could become a real rivalry in the Premier League in terms of managers.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Liverpool and Chelsea have got a bit of a nouveau rivalry as well. I mean, I've written and talked a lot about how I don't really regard it as one, because, you know, I've supported Liverpool so long that for me, everything revolves around Everton and Manchester United. They're Liverpool's rivals, if you like. But Liverpool played Chelsea so many times when we were under Rafa Benitez that it did develop into a rivalry. And you can sort of see that happening again, because, you know, both clubs have got brilliant managers. Both clubs have got brilliant teams. And it's not beyond the realms to say that they could be facing off basically for all the major competitions over the coming years. So you can see it developing into a rivalry, you're quite right. And I think this game's fantastic. You know, a few people are saying it's coming a bit early in the season, and does that take something off it? No, you know, not at all for me. I think footy's changed now in that, you know, once upon a time we had all the cliches, didn't we, about it's a marathon, not a sprint, and you could have a little bit of a slow start. But look, it took Liverpool 99 points to win the Premier League finally. They didn't win it with 97. I think Liverpool have very much learned the lesson now that, you know, it's not a marathon. It's 38 sprints. You've got to come absolutely out the blocks from day one, and you've got to win your games, and you've got to have no regrets. So I think they'll be going into Chelsea fully looking to win it. Equally, Chelsea will be the same the other way. Tuchel's done a fantastic job since he's come in there. You've got to take your hat off to him. Obviously, won two trophies already. I think it's only three defeats in the Premier League, and sort of two of them were, you know, when they had their eyes on the prize in terms of the Champions League as well. So it's going to be a very difficult match for Liverpool, but a very difficult match for Chelsea as well. And I think it really is one of them where you can see it going either way. What I'm looking forward to is, I'm a supporter. I will be in the centre of the cop, and I can't wait to see what Anfield's like, 5:30 full, for a game like Liverpool-Chelsea. I mean, we had a bit of a warm-up with the Burnley game, but, you know, that was an early kick-off. People are still a little bit sleepy at 12:30. I think, you know, it's hard to sort of really get up for those games. But 5:30 on a Saturday is a perfect time for a football match. And what a football match Liverpool-Chelsea will be.
Yeah, there'll be a few more pints had in by 5:30 compared to 12:30, I think. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Like we spoke about Andy Robertson there, and maybe towards the other end of the spectrum, one of the younger players, Harvey Elliott, someone it's hardly new to call him an exciting prospect in Liverpool because everyone knows exactly what he's capable of at this stage. But I mean, when you look at the players that have signed contracts with Liverpool in the last few years, aside from Robertson, like you've got Alisson, Fabinho, Van Dijk, Trent, all signing contracts and adding to the experience. But you know, how exciting is it for Liverpool fans to see someone like Harvey Elliott come up through the ranks and do what he's doing at the moment?
Yeah, really exciting. I mean, I think the Harvey Elliott story is a really intriguing one already, in that, you know, I think it sort of got lost a little bit in the story that Real Madrid were in for him, you know, that so high did they rate his talent and they tried to get him. And, you know, I think he met Real Madrid with his dad, but, you know, opted for Liverpool because they are Liverpool fans. His family's are Liverpool fans. They've been to Liverpool games even when he was at Fulham. So, you know, Liverpool got that edge there and managed to get him signed up. And I think the tribunal fee in the end is £4 million or so. You know, that's going to look like an absolute snip because the lad has absolutely got it. You know, he makes his debut for Fulham while he's still at school. He goes out on loan to Blackburn, and I think he's player of the season there. He's picking up awards. And, you know, I was always keeping an eye on him because, you know, the little bits that we got to see him in a Liverpool shirt before he went on loan, he really excited me then. I just think he's got great vision. He's got a great touch. You know, he's way beyond his years in sort of how he reads the game and his intelligence around football. You know, conversely, there was an interview that went out with him this week and has done the rounds on social media. And on that, he's a very shy boy. And it's sort of, you know, it's mad to watch that. That's a reminder that he is 18 years old. But when you're watching him on the football pitch, he doesn't look 18 years old there. He looks like he can more than handle himself. He can thread a great through ball. He's got a great first touch on him. He's going to score spectacular goals as well. He had a go at one in one of the friendlies that hit the bar. And if it went in, even though it was a friendly, I think it would have taken the roof off. The audacity of it to even try it was brilliant. So, yeah, we are all really excited about watching him because you always are, aren't you? When someone comes through that age with that ability, you're thinking, well, it's going to be fantastic watching his journey and watching him right now. But also, where can he go? Where will he end up in terms of how good will he be in the future? Because, you know, he's... fingers crossed, he's got sort of, you know, the best chunk of 20 years ahead of him. So, you know, what can he achieve in the game and that kind of thing? So it is really exciting. It was a promising debut. I mentioned before that, you know, one or two of the challenges from Burnley were quite tasty on Elliott as well. You know, they were getting stuck into him. And I think he touched the ball more than anyone else in the Liverpool side on Saturday, I think I'm right in saying. And what was telling for me is not only what he did with the ball and his involvement in that brilliant second Liverpool goal, but also the fact that his teammates were willing to give him the ball. Often you see a young lad come into the first team and, you know, teammates might look, see that it's the young lad making his debut and say, okay, well, I don't want to give him the ball. I don't want to put too much pressure on him. I'll opt for the safer option. But everyone was giving Harvey the ball, which said to me, they've seen him in training, they know the level he's at, and they're more than happy to trust them to go and take Liverpool forward in the game.
Gareth, great stuff. I can't wait for the Romelu Lukaku, Virgil van Dijk battle as well. There's been a Belgium-Dutch needle there undoubtedly as well. But listen, enjoy the game on Saturday in the Cup.
Thanks very much, mate.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We wanted to hit Kerry like they were never hit before. And he goes, when we hit them, and then we go, oh, they don't like this. And then they went at them again. That's what Tyrone have to do.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.